Football systems check. Microphone.
Check. Record enabled.
Kate.
Check.
Michelle.
Check. All systems go. I repeat, all systems go.
We got a problem.
Copy. We have ball blast. I repeat, we have ball blast.
Ayo. I don't know. I can't go after that. Like, what am I supposed to do after that?
You're supposed to scream because it's week one of Ayo. The NFL. Ayo.
Woo! It is week one. We have football in 3 days.
Oh, my God.
3 days.
This is not right. Like, it was just March 2 seconds ago.
It really was. And as insane as this summer has been, with all of us having to stay inside or, you know, we can't visit people as much as we want or take vacations, it was like the fastest summer of life.
How annoying is that?
It doesn't really make sense. No. That's how it worked. I cannot believe we're in September. It's September 7th. I am so ready to go.
I'm so ready to go. We get real live football action this week. Opening up the season with such a barn burner. Oh, my Lord.
It's going to be a great game. Like, we have Houston Texans versus the Kansas City Chiefs. We just had this matchup in, what, January? And how much was Houston up by? It was a lot. I think it was like 21 points. And then the Chiefs just came back and murdered them. Like, it wasn't even a close game.
I think they scored like 21 points in a span of 3 minutes.
I think I went to go get beer at one point when the Texans were up about 21 points. And I went to go get beer, and then all of a sudden I came back and it was like tied. And I was like, I've been gone for 5 minutes. What happened?
Oh, yeah. It was absolutely crazy. It was such a crazy game to watch, but also just, this is so special. This is going to be so much better than the Vikings-Bears of last season. So excited.
It was Green Bay Bears.
Oh, what did I say?
Packers-Bears, I guess. You said Minnesota.
Oh, interesting. That probably would have been the same exact game. I am Kate, everybody. You can follow me on Twitter at FFBallBlast.
And I'm Michelle. You can follow me at BallBlastEM, BallBlastEM.
We are publishing all our work over at BallBlastFootball.com. Lots and lots of resources there to get you through this season. We have got a killer content schedule coming up to have every aspect of your fantasy football leagues covered, top to bottom. So much advice coming out on a weekly basis. Pumping out content nonstop.
I'm really excited for my Wednesday article that I'll be posting. It's our sit, start. I always say sit, start. Start, sit.
So negative.
Article. And it uses the emoji. So if anyone followed me last year, you would have followed my thread, my start, sit thread with the, you know, fire emoji, cold emoji, don't start.
Fire and ice, baby.
But you don't start, your no, stop emoji. But if you followed me last year during that thread, I'm going to be making it into an article and posting every Wednesday. But it goes through like basically every single player that you would think about to start in fantasy.
Yeah, I am so excited for that. We're just going to have so much good stuff. Going to be a lot of betting content for our Patreon subscribers. So be sure to check out that patreon.com/ballblast. Please consider supporting us. It is the only way we can afford to pay our writers for the hard work that they do, and they so deserve it. We're going to have a really good season. But first, before we get into the actual matchups, we should do some news, but then I think what the key will be is to go over the fantasy football award winners, our predictions.
Yeah, so we're going to predict the awards for fantasy MVP,
ooh,
fantasy bust, and fantasy rookie of the year. Neither of us will pick Zach Moss, we promise. That's too obvious. But we're going to pick our fantasy rookie of the year. I think you're going to be very surprised by Kate's. Like, I was like, what are you doing? But it's an interesting one. She kind of is going
off the rails,
yeah,
baby.
She's going rogue here. It's fine. It's interesting. But stay with us. We're going to talk about the news and then get into that. And then I think we'll probably wait to get into the games until our podcast tomorrow. And we'll jump right into the Thursday night game and a few of the Sunday games.
Yeah, that sounds awesome.
We're going to be posting 3 podcasts this week.
3, because you guys deserve it. You're awesome.
It's just in.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Leonard Fournette.
Oh my God.
We haven't done a podcast since he's been cut. So
oh my God.
You've all heard that news, though. Leonard Fournette was cut by the Jacksonville Jaguars and then signed by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who have been outwardly, like, in love with Ronald Jones all offseason long. All you've heard is Bruce Arians talk up Ronald Jones. Quite like 2019 offseason, all they did was talk up Ronald Jones, and then he played Peyton Barber over him over and over and over again. Now he did pretty much the same thing. He talked up Ronald Jones and then goes and signs Leonard Fournette. Now he says that Ronald Jones is still the clear starter.
That's what he says. On the Tampa Bay depth chart, Ronald Jones is technically first.
Ooh, wow. Yeah, for week one, because Fournette's not going to be up and running yet. He will be the starter for week one, Ronald Jones. It's against the Saints. Good luck starting him against the Saints. They have a very good run defense. They do not allow a lot of fantasy points to running backs. So he gets week one, and then week two, Fournette will be up and running and probably stealing many of his touches. Good luck owning anyone in this backfield is all I want to say. If I do draft someone, it would be Leonard Fournette because now he's going so incredibly late. He's going just as late as Ronald Jones.
I drafted him yesterday in the 8th round.
Yeah, so if you're going to take one of these running backs, I'm going to take the running back that's the most talented, that can get the receptions. I know Ronald Jones has worked on his receiving game. Yeah, it kind of sounds like what we heard about Jordan Howard last year, Sony Michel. They worked on their hands in the receiving game. You either have it or you don't. And Ronald Jones does not have the receiving part of his game. Fournette does. So if you're going to talk about one guy taking the quality carries and touches, I think it's Fournette. You know, Fournette can run. He's a power guy, just like Ronald Jones.
And I don't think, like, maybe this is me just totally putting a narrative into the universe here, but I feel like Tom Brady has very much cherry-picked his entire offense. Like, he knows who he wants to work with, and guess what? It was Leonard Fournette. And I don't think they would have made that move if they were totally satisfied with the running game.
There's a lot of teams out there that have strong running back ones that they feel confident in that didn't go look for Leonard Fournette or try to sign him.
Yeah.
If you have a veteran, like, it's not like Ronald Jones is this new dude and you're like, you know what, let's bring in this running back that we know is great. Ronald Jones is going into his third year. You either know he's great or not. And clearly he's not, because there's so many teams out there who are like, no, we're happy with our running back.
And it's not even like this is Bruce Arians'
Chicago
first year
said
working.
No. Chicago said no. And David Montgomery. So they said, we're happy with our running back room. We don't want Leonard Fournette. That's how much they believe in David Montgomery. And Tampa Bay doesn't believe in Ronald Jones. You have LeSean McCoy there that didn't get cut. Dare Akwabala.
Ogunblale.
I will never know how to say his last name. And it doesn't seem to matter. He's not on the team right now. He got cut. LeSean McCoy is still there. He, you know, Bruce Arians came out and said he's going to still have a role. They're just all going to have roles.
You get a role.
While feeding Chris Godwin and Mike Evans and O.J. Howard
Rob Gronkowski.
Like, good luck owning anyone on this team.
Who knows? I think this is absolutely trouble, but I do think that Leonard Fournette poses, like, the biggest dual threat that Bucks have had in a long time.
I like the signing for them. I think it's a great Tampa Bay Bucks signing. But Fournette kind of kills the value
of everybody in the offense.
Yeah, kind of. All right, let's move on. So Devonta Freeman visited with the Jags since Leonard Fournette was cut. But he didn't end up signing. I don't know if Freeman's going to sign anywhere. I think he wants money. I don't think he's going to get it.
I don't think he's going to get it until the first big injury of the season. And not that I'm rooting for that, but it happens every single year. We'll see, a running back out for an extended period of time. As soon as that happens, teams are going to be willing to pay Devonta Freeman.
Yeah, and you kind of would have thought maybe with Leonard Fournette leaving Jacksonville, this would have been his moment, because there's nobody in this backfield that you feel confident in that can lead a team for a whole season. No. I mean, we haven't really seen it besides Chris Thompson, but he's never had more than 100 carries in his career. Stop. I'm actually higher on Chris Thompson than you are. I think he gets a lot of targets.
He hasn't played more than 11 games since 2016.
I know.
And so he's had two seasons of more than 13 games, 2015, 2016, Prior to that, 4 games, 2 games, 10 games, 10 games, 11 games. What are they going to do for all the other games, Michelle?
I'm just saying, if there's a back you want to draft, it's Chris Thompson. If you're in a full PPR league, I do have him down for around 80 targets. I think he will get that. Leonard Fournette had 100 last year.
There's not a lot of other receiving weapons.
Yeah, there's no other receiving weapons. There's really no tight end besides Tyler Eifert, who also never is healthy. Yeah. So Chris Thompson, if he even plays 12 games, he's going to get 80 targets. And, you know, that's valuable in PPR leagues. He was the second leading target in Washington last year. And he only played, what, 11 games?
Yeah.
I mean, that's not saying much. I think he only had like 68 targets or something like that. It wasn't a lot, but he was the second leading target in the offense. And I think that's kind of what we're probably going to get here.
The issue, though, is just the rushing floor. Like, he's never had more than 68 rushing attempts in a season.
I think he has around 100 this year. That's where I have him at. Because Raquel Armstead, who was planning to take over this backfield when Fournette was cut, he's now put back on the COVID-19 reserve list.
For the second time.
For the second time, and news came out. He's not expected to play for a long time. So now we have just James Robinson, an undrafted free agent rookie this year, and Divine Ozigbo from last year. Was he drafted last year and also a free agent?
I actually am not sure, but I'm just
either
so
super late or an undrafted free agent.
You just, like, I've been trying to pronounce his name for how long, and that just rolled off your tongue?
What, Divine Ozigbo?
Yeah!
I'm so good.
Oh my God, that's hilarious. But James Robinson is actually he's a super interesting name to throw out there, especially because of the fact that I feel like his name appeared after most leagues have drafted. He might be in your waivers right now.
Oh, he should be on your waivers. I don't want to draft any of these running backs besides Chris Thompson, but I do think the running back that will have the most carries is James Robinson. He had a massive workload in college.
Yeah.
380 touches, I believe. And if they're going to use a guy, he was okay. I mean, all of these players they have in their backfield, when you talk about Armstead, Robinson, and Ozigbo, they were all pretty inefficient in college. So you shouldn't expect them to all of a sudden be efficient in the NFL, especially in this offense.
Hashtag tank for Trevor.
Tank for Trevor. Trevor Lawrence. I think James Robinson leads the backfield in carries, and I don't think it means very much. So I don't want any of these guys. I want Chris Thompson late in PPR leagues. I'm fine with that. And I actually do think he has a great week one. I have him in my lineup for a league.
Ooh.
Adrian Peterson was cut from the Washington football
team. And
then
everybody lost their minds.
Yeah. So, I mean, if Antonio Gibson was going to break out, out with or without Adrian Peterson, they play different roles. Antonio Gibson, yes, has been seeing first team reps with AP, but not as a typical running back. Like, he's going to be lined up on the outside. That's where he's going to have his value in targets. And he there's no way he's prepared to be an NFL lead running back.
People are drafting him in the third and fourth round.
It's insane. We're going to talk about him a little bit later in one of our awards. And one of our awards, probably not the nice one. Now, Bryce Love.
Don't give away all our goodies.
Bryce Love is someone that we've talked up. We're excited about. It seems like he might not be fully healthy yet. It seems like he might be inactive for the first half of the season, you know, in those games. They said that they think he can get back to where he was in college, but he's not quite there yet. They didn't cut him. That's good
news.
They
didn't cut him. But they also, like, he got early on in camp, he got some nice reports.
He did, and then it kind of died off. And now there's news coming out that he's probably going to be inactive on game days. I do think towards the end of the season, towards the second half of the season, we're going to start seeing him get more carries. He's not even a guy I'm going to draft. I'm like massive Bryce Love fan. I cannot draft him.
I think the trick is to just not draft anybody in this backfield.
Because I think Peyton Barber is going to lead the backfield in touches. It's not going to be pretty. I think he leads another backfield in touches.
Yeesh.
They've talked him up just as much as they talked up anyone else on their team. J.D. McKissic is still there. He made the team. He's going to fight for targets, running back targets with Antonio Gibson. I don't want anyone on this team.
Nope.
I think there's some backfields you can just stay away from, and that's one of them.
Speaking of backfields to stay away from.
Yep, where Adrian Peterson went now. So Adrian Peterson was cut. He signed with the Detroit Lions, messing things up for DeAndre Swift and Kerryon Johnson. It was already a backfield we couldn't really figure out. Now what do we do?
DeAndre Swift hasn't been healthy. Kerryon Johnson, by all appearances, like, technically is healthy, like, based on the reports, but he's still wearing a bulky knee brace. And he doesn't seem overly confident that he's super healthy. So I think this is going to be a disgusting three-headed monster. I want nothing to do with it unless I'm in a rebuild dynasty mode. And then I will take DeAndre Swift from one of my competitors in the season for a very low acquisition cost.
He's going to need a lot of targets for him to be successful for fantasy or be consistent. And it doesn't seem like Stafford uses... I mean, I know he used Theo Riddick back in the day. I mean, last year, Kerryon Johnson wasn't getting those targets.
Too many weapons in the offense, and it's definitely leading, trending more towards the pass. I just don't think all three of these guys are good enough that I think they just sort of dilute each other, and that's irritating.
A lot of these moves that happened this week made three backfields ones I don't want to touch, and it becomes hard because there's, you know, sooner or later you're going to have to take a shot because there's only so many running backs. So many lead running backs, right? But that makes me not want anyone from the Washington football team on the Detroit Lions or on the Jaguars in the running back backfield. The Chiefs released running back DeAndre Washington. Doesn't mean a whole lot, but I do think this makes people maybe a little bit more confident that Clyde Edwards-Helaire will get those running back targets because Washington, at least in the beginning of the summer, was we assumed he might come in, steal those running back targets. Now he's gone. Darrell Williams and Darwin Thompson are his...
You're talking like you're from Brooklyn, New
York.
Are
his backups.
You're from Brooklyn, New York?
I really like Darrell Williams, but he's not going to steal much work.
Here's my take on it. I think you gotta draft Stop. Clyde Edwards-Helaire as the RB1. And be like your brother, who drafted him as the running back too.
Yeah, he did.
Over Saquon Barkley.
So where would you put Clyde Edwards-Helaire? So obviously we're not crazy. We're putting CMC, Barkley, Zeke, and I'm putting Kamara over Clyde Edwards. Would you put anyone else over him, or is he your running back 5?
I actually have him as a later tier. I think he's my running back 10.
Damn.
I just think... When we're looking at this offense, it is Patrick Mahomes' offense. I know he hand-selected Clyde Edwards-Helaire, but I do think that like this is an offense that is built around Patrick Mahomes in the past. I think that Clyde Edwards-Helaire definitely helps that. I do think that, you know, for the body of work we've seen from him at LSU, this is sort of a very complementary offense to what he's already been working with, this high-powered offense. But I don't, like, I can't count on those carries when, you know, you have Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce. There's so much competition in that backfield or in the, just on the team in general.
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you. I actually do have him as my running back 8, so it's not too far off. I think I would rather go with Derrick Henry, you know, Josh Jacobs, Miles Sanders, Kenyon Drake. They're all right there with him. It's a hard decision to make. I like all of them, so... Can't fight you too hard there. Patriots released Lamar Miller. Does not matter. He was not going to be involved anyways. He is visiting the Buffalo Bills. Does not matter. He will be the running back 3 if he signs with the Buffalo Bills. He will just take over TJ Yeldon, who we did not see at all last year. So yeah. Does not matter. We have 3 quarterbacks that we now know are starters for week 1. A lot of them were obvious. Cam Newton is going to be starting for New England.
Shocker.
We knew that. Ryan Fitzpatrick will start for Miami in week 1. We knew that as well. I think it's going to take time for Tua to feel comfortable with that injury. And I think we see Ryan Fitzpatrick for most of this year. So he's starting against New England in week 1. I think that's great news for Devontae Parker and Preston Williams. Ryan Fitzpatrick throws up the ball.
He doesn't care.
He just chucks it up. I think that's great news for the wide receivers in fantasy. And then the one that, you know, we were kind of on the ledge there. We didn't know if it was going to go with Mitch Trubisky or with Nick Foles
in
Chicago.
To be fair, I knew.
Yes, they're starting Mitchell Trubisky in week 1 versus the Detroit Lions. So that's a nice matchup.
Darius Slay isn't there anymore.
Would you start Mitch Trubisky in week 1?
I would.
You probably won't need to. Right.
You probably won't need to, but if you're in a two quarterback or super flex league, I absolutely think he's a fine play. Again, Darius Slay is not there. So you've got Allen Robinson just basically taking full charge of the field. Like, I think there's absolutely nothing wrong with this. And I've said it from the beginning. I think he's going to be the starter because once you sit a draft pick that you have drafted that highly, it's really hard to bring him back in the game. Like, it would be super tough. So I think they're going to give him that opportunity. I think I have him statted out for like 5 games. I think they're at least going to start the season for him. But something interesting I read, like Chicago, you know, there are plenty of free agents, you know, available this season, but perhaps they went with Nick Foles because he's somebody that Mitch Trubisky can actually compete with. And I think that's sort of an interesting point. Like,
they want Mitch Trubisky to happen. They're going to try it again this year. We'll see if he can step up or not. It's probably unlikely. Let's get out of the news here. We talked about that very long. So let's talk about MyBookie before we get into our segment.
Oh my gosh, MyBookie. So MyBookie Sportsbook, so exciting, an awesome place to pay your dues and place some fantasy bets on your teams for this year. Promo code BALLBLAST. They are going to match your first deposit up to $1,000 in free play. $1,000.
Tell them about the easy
$50. Oh my gosh. So they've got the best bet. So if you only sign up for MyBookie using promo code BALLBLAST for one bet this season, it is going to be the Chiefs game this week, the season opener. They have given an odds boost max of $50 bet to bet the Chiefs to cover 54 points.
Yeah, all they have to do is not lose by 54 points and you win your $50 back. So yeah, you bet $50, you win $50, you come away with $100 just for betting 50.
Yeah, and so
It's a free $50.
It's a free $50.
The Chiefs are not going to lose by 54 points no matter what happened. Like, no matter what happens, NFL teams don't lose by 54 points.
Yeah, unless like somebody literally comes onto the field and like...
No, everyone could get hurt and they're still not going to lose by 54 points. Go get your free $50.
MyBookie, promo code BALLBLAST. They've got live betting. They've got live betting. So if you're in the middle of the game, you can place your bets. They've got the spread, the money line, the total, all sports. Literally, like, I think they even have Madden over there, which is crazy. We won't have to bet on Madden much longer because we're going to have real football. Survival pools, you can bet the division winners. I think it's sort of interesting. A line I found today, New York Giants, they've got it plus 1,100 to win the division. I think that's a little intriguing.
Sure.
I know.
Go bet on the Steelers to win the AFC North. I'm sure that they have pretty good odds.
They do have good odds, but actually another one I like, Houston Texans plus 350 to win the AFC South. They have won the AFC South 4 out of the last 5 years. Go bet on mybookie.com, but don't forget to use promo code BALLBLAST in order to match your first deposit. Promo code BALLBLAST at mybookie.ag.
All right, let's get into our fantasy award prediction. So we're going to predict who we're, because we're going to do the same show after the 2020 season. We're going to talk about the fantasy MVP, the fantasy bust, and the fantasy rookie of the year. But we're going to predict the names that we will be announcing.
I am Miss Cleo.
At the end of the season. So let's start with a fun one. Fantasy MVP. The guy that brings you home that trophy. And I'm going to start here with Josh Jacobs of the Las Vegas Raiders. This week they traded away Lynn Bowden Jr. and they cut Theo Riddick.
That's interesting because they kept adding all these pieces in and it was absolutely diminishing any thought that Josh Jacobs might have pass catching value.
Yeah, and I know these might seem like, oh, they weren't going to get away in the way of Josh Jacobs anyways, but Theo Riddick is the pass catching running back and Lynn Bowden Jr. was drafted in the third round to be that pass-catching running back. He was a wide receiver in college, and then they moved him to the running back position. Now they traded him away for basically nothing. They just gave away their third-round pick. But they're gone. So I do think Josh Jacobs, we can feel a little bit more confident that he will see more targets in his second year. The great thing about him is that he doesn't need a ton of targets because he's so amazing on the ground. Last year, he was on pace for 298 carries, before his injury, on pace for over 1,400 rushing yards and 9 rushing touchdowns. All of this playing many games with a fractured shoulder. He's good. He was one of the best in the league in yards after contact. He was the best in the league in avoided tackles. And we're talking about just the number. He had 69 avoided tackles. That was top in the league. And that's only with 242 carries. When you're comparing him to the second best, Nick Chubb, he had 50 more carries or 60 more carries than Jacobs. Chris Carson had 30 more carries and he was third in avoided tackles. Henry was fourth. He had 60 more carries. Josh Jacobs was fantastic his rookie season, and I just expect the Raiders to lean on him. I think Jacobs will be the focal point of this offense, kind of like Henry is for Tennessee, and I'm expecting massive things from him this season. He is my fantasy MVP.
He played with a broken shoulder.
Wild. Okay.
Broken shoulder.
Give me your fantasy MVP.
As a running back. I'm just like, that just absolutely blows me away. This is probably one of the most unexpected picks from me that you will ever hear, but I am going with Cam Newton, currently being drafted as the quarterback 15 per Fantasy Pros. Just named the starter in New England, so that's probably going to bump his draft stock a little bit, but if you didn't think Cam Newton was the starter, I don't know what planet you've been living on anyways. The last time we saw him healthy, I feel like the last time we saw him, period, he wasn't playing well. He looked very hurt. He looked off. He didn't look like Cam Newton Superman. He looked like Cam Newton injured man. Let's go back to the time he was healthy, which was the first 10 weeks of the 2018 season. He was the quarterback 6 in that span. Quarterback 6, the last time we saw that man healthy. By all accounts, Cam Newton is absolutely healthy. And the beauty of it all, you know, I think we look at the Patriots without Tom Brady as just sort of being lost. But Cam Newton's a good quarterback. He seems to rally his teammates. And you know what? The beauty is that rushing ability with that healed foot. He that's what he takes off. He takes off, he runs. And that's sort of the key to him being, you know, this fantasy football MVP is his ability on the ground. He totaled 14 rushing touchdowns in his rookie season. If you go down the line, 10, 5, 6, 4, he hasn't had fewer than 359 rushing yards since 2016. And that was the only time he had that few rushing yards.
He's going to have rushing yards. He's going to have rushing touchdowns.
Julian Edelman is still there, people.
And Damian Harris, it just came out, he might be put on IR for the short IR, the 3 weeks, which is really sad. I was excited to see Damian Harris play. We already know Sony Michel has his efficiency issues. Mm-hmm. James White is an atypical running back that you're going to hand the ball to too often. I think Cam Newton's going to run a lot, run often, and then he's going to get those carries near the goal line. We saw Tom Brady with 7 carries inside the 5 last year, the most for any quarterback in the NFL last season. Cam Newton's going to get those, and he's going to get the touchdowns. I wouldn't be shocked if he has 7 or 8 rushing touchdowns.
I absolutely would not be shocked.
I love this pick by you.
He will probably have around 100 rushing attempts. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if he led the league in rushing attempts, aside from Lamar Jackson, because he's not a human
being. And the biggest issue was he's going to need to stay healthy, and he hasn't been doing that lately. And if he's rushing that often, he could get hurt. But until he does, I think this is a great pick. Fantasy bust. So we're moving on to the next award, fantasy bust. This is where people get mad at us because we tell them that the people they drafted are going to bust. I'm going with Antonio Gibson because his cost right now is absolutely insane. He's going in the 4th round. He's going as a top 20 running back.
Guys, don't do this.
He's on the Washington football team. Like, if you weren't excited for Adrian Peterson, like, I get Antonio Gibson is more exciting because he can get the targets. But there's some backfields that just aren't fun to have anyone on. And I think that's the Washington football team. Antonio Gibson, I know you've heard it a million times, had 33 total carries in college. And most of those came in 2 games back-to-back. 17 of them came in 2 games against the same exact defense against the Cincinnati college team. I don't even know what their mascot is.
I don't know.
Bearcats? I think they're the Bearcats. I mean, come on, guys. I don't really understand it. I know Antonio Gibson broke out on basically every carry he was given, but he would run into defenders and then just they didn't tackle him. And I'm sorry, in the NFL, he's probably going to get tackled. His vision really wasn't there. He's very athletic. He's very fast. That's fantastic. But you just expecting him to come into the NFL and be a workhorse back or even a lead back, even a back that gets more than 100 carries, I don't see it.
Here's the issue. He didn't even exceed 100 total touches in college. Literally totaled 77 touches through his junior and senior years at Memphis. Literally, his total scrimmage yards, total receiving yards, 834 receiving yards over two seasons. That is not, if you want to like talk about his receiving upside, sure, but it's not like he dominated as a wide receiver.
Yeah, and the only way that he's going to make it, at least for his rookie season, to be fantasy relevant and to be a top 20 running back, like you're drafting him at his ceiling, is if he gets a ton of targets. And we did, like I brought up earlier, Chris Thompson was the second most targeted back in the Washington team last year. Not most targeted back, most targeted player on the Washington team last year with 68 targets. But listen, guys.
Antonio Gibson, literally his peak is 38 receptions on a season. That was his in college.
So Chris Thompson, actually, I've been saying the wrong thing. 58 targets Chris Thompson had last year. Second most targeted player on the team. These are his fantasy points. 15, that's fine. This is full PPR. 10, 15, 10, 8, 4, 3, 11, 4, 9, 2. You're drafting that pretty much. Like you're just expecting that Antonio Gibson can be as good as Chris Thompson right off the bat. And be just as involved, you're drafting that in the fourth round. You're not going to be happy with 10, 10, 8, 4, 3, 4, 9, 2, and 11. And then you have two 15-point games. Ooh, whippity-doo. Like, that's still not that great for full PPR leagues.
Well, and you pointed out the fact that this is not a great offense, which sometimes, if you're talking about quarterback or wide receiver, that's sometimes a good thing because you do have to throw the ball more to keep up. But a bad offense is never a good thing for a running back.
And maybe he gets some targets out of it, but he's, you know, the touchdown opportunities are going to be limited in this offense. And then they did keep J.D. McKissic, who's been talked up a ton also this offseason. He's the receiving back as well, so he has to fight for targets, against J.D. McKissic. You have Peyton Barber, who they've also talked up. They said that he thinks he's a really good running back as well. He's probably going to take... I wouldn't be surprised if he has the most carries on this
team.
Y'all,
Peyton Barber already made Rojo irrelevant.
Yeah. I would not touch Antonio Gibson with a 190-foot pole in the fourth round.
That is a long pole.
I would barely even consider him later on, let alone in the fourth round. He's going at a ceiling. He's my fantasy bust.
I love that. Love that. Because he is a guy that I would want to take in like the eighth round as a flyer. Not as one of my, like my running back two.
If you want a player that's going to just be heavily involved in the passing game, just draft Chris Thompson in the 11th round.
Yeah.
On an equally bad team.
Or draft Terry McLaurin like a round later.
Or just that same round. Like, God, please give me Terry McLaurin over Antonio Gibson anytime, any day in the fourth round.
Fight me.
Give me your fantasy bust, Kate. I actually don't agree on this one, if this is the name you're going with that I see in the notes.
It is the name I'm going with, and I am going with running back Aaron Jones. And I'm sorry. I'm so sorry, everybody. Feel like I will never be forgiven for this pick because, good Lord, everybody loves Aaron Jones. The issue for me is his splits when other backs are on the field. So the Packers made the move of drafting A.J. Dillon in the 2020 draft, which I think is a great pick. Literally Derrick Henry light. He is an absolute bulldozer that I think will be sort of a go-to goal line back. But even Aaron Jones in his splits with and without Jamal Williams, who we don't think of as a studly running back in any stretch of the imagination, he had the ability to impact Aaron Jones in a really significant way. In the two games without Jamal Williams, we saw Aaron Jones average 30.5 points per game. Holy Moses. Averaged 7 targets per game. Averaged 22 rushing attempts per game. 2 rushing touchdowns per game. That is a lot of points accumulated within the two-game span. Without Jamal Williams, you know, he definitely showed up. But the issue is we've added in a third running back now.
Yeah.
That is the issue to me. I definitely don't think we can expect that, you know, like if we have Jamal Williams and Aaron Jones, obviously Aaron Jones is the touchdown guy. But if we have Aaron Jones, A.J. Dillon, and Jamal Williams, I'm not as confident that he's the touchdown guy.
You know, so I was going to say I don't agree with this. And it's not because of A.J. Dillon that I think he's going to be a bust. And I don't necessarily...
It's just his draft cost for me.
It's not... And I don't even think that's too unfair. He's going at the end of the second round. I think that's fair for what he offers you. The issue with Aaron Jones is he's a lot like an Amari Cooper type, where he scores so much of his total fantasy points on the year in just a few games.
Yeah, just those games where Jamal Williams is out. That's where he scores
all his
points.
I know, but he can really help you win a game, right? Or he can do nothing. So he had a 50-point game. And if you have Aaron Jones in your lineup, if you have any player in your lineup and they score 50 points, like, you're going to win your matchup. He won you your matchup pretty much alone. And then he had another 41-point game, and he had a 27 and a 31 and a 28. Those are all great, and that's a handful of fantastic games. But then you have 5 points. You have a 15, an 18, an 8, a 4, a 4, a 7, a 6. Like, there's just a lot
of
games.
That's a low floor.
Yeah, there's a lot of games where he just really kills you. There's a lot of games he wins. And I think at the back of the second round, I really do think that's fair. Because you're not grabbing a guy that you know is going to be a workhorse back that's going to just help you win a week every week. I do think his price is fair, but I get what you're saying. I think we can all know his touchdowns are going to come down. He's not going to score 18 touchdowns again. But
he played a full 16 games, which is great because he's a guy that we've been concerned about health issues in the past for. But so, like, when you mention his 50 and 30-point games, those take up a chunk of his 290 points scored in the 2019 season. How many? Like, it's just that split. It's either all or nothing. And
yeah,
I think that's what I want.
I think something else to note is that he saw the majority of his targets when Davante Adams was out injured. When Adams was in the game, his targets went way, way down. Like, he was on pace for over 100 targets, I think, when Adams was out.
Good
I don't have
Lord.
The numbers in front of me, but... And then on a much less pace, obviously, with Adams there. He ended up with 68 targets, but it was that high because Adams missed so many games. So if Adams is healthy this year, expect that to go back down into the 50s. Expect his touchdowns to come down from 19. Expect that A.J. Dillon and Jamal Williams will be involved. I agree with you. I think it's going to be a headache to decide when to play him, when not. And if you take him in the second round,
you have to pay him all the time.
Pay him? You're going to pay him?
I will pay him cash
okay.
to get out of my lineup because he is going to be a bust.
Yeah, I would rather take... maybe a wide receiver there.
I would rather take James Conner.
I was thinking that, but I didn't want to say it.
I said it.
I would rather take James Conner as well, because you know, as long as he's healthy, he's going to get all of the running back touches. We don't know that for Aaron Jones. And Aaron Jones is not also a player that is just healthy all the time. I mean, before last season, he was getting hurt all of the time. So, you know, if you're going to say, well, I don't want James Conner because he gets injured all the time. I mean, that was Aaron Jones before last season.
If you play FanDraft, FanDuel, DraftKings, literally any sort of DFS, you've probably noticed one name, literally, over and over at the top. All the leaderboards, all the time. It's Osimo, the team led by the number one player in daily fantasy sports. It is Alex Osimo Baker. He dominates, and it's so obnoxious. But guess what? Osimo is launching their own inaugural season-long and best ball fantasy football draft kit, which will help to revolutionize the way you prep for your drafts. It's powered by the same projections that have helped him become the number one DFS player.
You have to understand how hard it is to become the best DFS player. It's not just about luck with DFS. You know, like, you play your year-round redraft leagues, like, a lot of that could be luck. Like, DFS, you have to actually understand the game and to be so on point to to just keep winning. Yeah, maybe if you win once, you're lucky.
Yeah.
But he is one of the best. And if you want a great draft kit, like, this is where to find it.
This is where to find it. And this dude's made more than $7.8 million.
In Can we career. Switch lives with him?
I know. Alex, we're coming for you. Alex Awesome Baker. You get the variety of tools and insights to help dominate your fantasy football drafts, including rankings and projections. You get tiers, breakouts, sleepers, bust scores, and you get the draft wingman. The draft wingman. That will help you update your rankings in real time while you make your picks. It's only $29.95. You get access to the entire inaugural Awesomeo draft kit. But with promo code BALLBLAST, you get 50% off. That's $15.
$15 to get some of the best advice in the business.
Heading into your drafts, that's right. Go ahead, check it out, awesemo.com/draftkit. That's AWESEMO.com/draftkit. And get 50% off this pass right now using promo code BALLBLAST. The NFL season is right here, and Awesomeo is here to help you win it.
Let's move on to Fantasy Rookie of the Year. And like we said, we promised not to say Zach Moss. That would clearly be both of our choices. But we're going to move on to different people because we want to give you more entertainment and more information. Let's talk about two guys that we haven't brought up too much. I'm going to start with my Rookie of the Year. I'm going with Denzel Mims, the wide receiver for the New York Jets. When you're talking about a rookie to break out, think about last year, right? We had A.J. Brown break out because there was nobody else in that offense. I mean, you have to also be great. Like, let's get that confirmed. You have to be a great wide receiver to break out as a rookie. So I'm not saying anything about these guys' talent, but A.J. Brown broke out because there was opportunity. D.K. Metcalf broke out because there was opportunity. Terry McLaurin broke out because there was opportunity. Like, all of the, they needed these guys to break out immediately. They needed to use them. Look at the New York Jets offense. They have nobody. They're thinking about starting Chris Hogan. They're thinking about starting Chris Hogan this week, or Dante Moncrief, because Rashad Perriman is still dealing with his knee injury, and Denzel Mims has had a bad hammy this whole camp, and he's barely practiced. So Denzel Mims, yes, hasn't practiced, but he's coming into this opportunity where he's going to have the snaps, and hopefully he'll have the targets, but I think he's talented enough. I think he's a great talent out of this class. He is fantastic at those contested catches, something that Robbie Anderson kind of struggled with because he was a tall guy, but lanky. He was skinny.
So skinny.
Not strong. He was so tiny.
His
arms and his tiny thighs. I mean, I've never seen tinier thighs in my life.
Jealous.
For an NFL player, it was pretty wild how tiny his thighs were. He was just so little, but so tall, so lanky, so weak. And then you replace him with a guy who's just as tall, runs just as fast, but is a bigger guy. He has more weight to him. He's stronger, and he was one of the best in college at contested catches. Yes, you want a guy that can create separation. You want a guy that gets yards after the catch. That's not really Mims' style. He's more of that contested catch player, but that works sometimes, and I think that's going to work in this offense. He's going to get the targets. I think he's going to be able to beat the defenders. And I think he could lead all rookie wide receivers in touchdowns. He's that tall weapon for Sam Darnold. He needs that in the end zone. He's not competing really against anybody else. And week one, I mean, I don't really know if I'm saying you want to draft Mims because I don't know how fast he's going to break out with no practice time. But I think he's a guy to keep an eye on. Week one, Tre'Davious White for the Buffalo Bills is already saying he's watching tape on him. He's going to shadow him, right? Right off the bat, we're going to know, is Mims the real deal? Now, this isn't going to show us if he can break out or not. Like, if he has a bad game, it's against one of the best corners in the league. But let's say Mims has 4 receptions for 80 yards against Tre'Davious White. That's going to show us, okay, this dude can ball out. And I'm excited to see what he can do week one against a really hard defense and against a really hard cornerback.
Yeah, I mean, he's intriguing, and that's sort of the thing about all of these guys. But honestly, I feel like you laid out the argument for me and my guy pretty...
People are going to be like, who is your guy? Like, just wait for her to say this name. A lot of you listening might not even know who he is.
Yeah.
Do you want to say it?
All right. I'm going with Quez Watkins. He is a wide receiver for the Philadelphia Eagles. Leave me alone.
All right.
Leave me alone.
You okay. have your guy. Go for
it. I have my guy. He's a guy that I really liked coming out of school. He is wicked fast.
Wicked?
Right? Wicked. Mm. Bruh. He is wicked fast, right? A 4.36. Excelled in the vertical. Broad jump. He's super explosive. The issue with him, and I think he probably would have had higher draft stock, is that he ran a longer three cone and shuttle times. Like, that's sort of it, and that's sort of what we saw with DK Metcalf. Now, this guy isn't the same player as DK Metcalf, so please don't get that twisted. But, you know, when I'm looking for a league winner, I'm looking for somebody who's able to emerge that wasn't on anybody's radar.
Okay, but you're not drafting Quez Watkins, right?
You're not drafting. No, okay. But I think he will come out to win you some games down the stretch.
Okay.
I think, and he's going to be available on waivers for a good while.
Oh, yeah.
So
he could break out week one, so nobody's picking him up.
So in college, in 2019, he ranked 13th in receiving yards among NCAA players, 11th in yards after the catch, 3rd in yards per reception. The issue for him that he really needs to clean up is, like, drops. And mm-hmm. he needs to clean up some of those aspects of his game. Totaled 7 drops in the 2019 season.
To be fair, Rager had more.
Yeah, true. But yeah. I will say that, you know, when I'm sort of looking at that type of player and sort of what needs to be improved in their game, he doesn't need to improve on speed. He's already got it. He's got the speed down the field. He's got straight line speed. He's absolutely got that in the bag. He needs to clean up his game. Who better to clean up somebody's game than Doug Peterson, who is a great offensive coach, going to be taking control of the offensive coordinator duties. I just think that Quez Watkins is a guy that, you know, all of the things that need to be tweaked, I think, are tweakable. And Michelle, you said it this year. You're looking for opportunity. Mm-hmm. What more opportunity could you literally want for a rookie? You know, in Philadelphia, you definitely have Zach Ertz, but we've heard some things, you know, about his contract negotiations not going well. You have Dallas Goedert. You have Miles Sanders. Who else?
Yeah, but I mean,
Alshon Jeffrey, you don't have him.
We don't have to worry about Ertz with contract.
No, but I'm just saying, like, you have all these different, you know, pieces, but you have no true wide receiver one. You have DeSean Jackson, who is not the picture of health. I just think Quez Watkins is a really interesting player and, you know, somebody who's a little underrated for his college production and speed because of maybe some of these things that Doug Peterson can help him with. I can actually see him down the line becoming more of an impact player, and you're going to be able to pick him up in waivers probably week 8.
Yeah, I mean, I think
this is literally
you and me have been different about our sleeper for the Eagles offense, right? I think we both see an opportunity here in this offense. You, Alshon Jeffrey, like you said, like, no. Is not healthy. He, you know, we don't know if he can stay healthy. DeSean Jackson rarely stays healthy as well. Like, he will probably have a few great games, and we don't know how long he will last. Jalen Reagor, we know, is going to be out for at least the beginning of the year. So I think both of us see maybe there's a potential here for a breakout of one of the wide receivers they drafted later. I'm on the John Hightower side. You're on the Quez Watkins side. I don't want either, obviously, in redraft fantasy. Like, I wouldn't draft them, but I'm going to be keeping an eye out for them. And if they do break out in week 1 or week 2, like, it's not someone I would hesitate to then go after on waivers. Like, is that going to be one of those questions? Like, okay, we did like them. We like their talent. They broke out. Like, let's go get them. There's no hesitation.
I mean, during your fantasy football playoffs, I've already talked about Quez Watkins in the fantasy football playoffs.
What? Why?
Yeah, I don't know.
Should I cut you off?
They've got the Saints, Eagles, and the they've got the Saints, Cardinals, and the Cowboys. All of those are offenses that I think they'll need to keep up with.
Stop talking. If Quez Watkins breaks out and is the fantasy rookie MVP, I will buy you a house. With our joint account, I will buy you a house.
Okay, no, I actually want to put a bet on this. I think that Quez Watkins will finish ahead of Denzel Mims.
Okay. What we need to do a gross bet though. Like you have to.
But I need better odds than like I need.
No.
Or no, I need worse odds than you. So I need my payout to be bigger. How about we put this out to Twitter?
No. I want to come up with it now. So, like, what's a really gross beer? A Budweiser. Like, we hate Budweiser. We love Bud Light, but like Budweiser is disgusting. You have to chug a Budweiser, a whole one on the mic. We can even film it.
That's disgusting.
Whoever loses, and if you win, I will chug two. If I win, you just have to chug one since. Denzel Mims should definitely beat Quez Watkins.
Love it. All love right. My odds. Can't wait to see you chug that Budweiser. Everybody.
It would be two.
That is our fantasy awards for this season. These are our bold predictions. Please let us know in our comments on Twitter. Holler at us. Let us know who your picks are for MVP, Bust, and Rookie of the Year. Please holla at me if it
Stop
is Quez
saying
Watkins.
Holla.
Sorry.
It's nice. Holla.
Holla.
All right. We're headed out for today. We will be back tomorrow. And we're going to get into game previews. Actual NFL game previews. And we're just going to talk about all the fantasy implications in every game. Who to start, who to sit. I'm so excited. You will hear from us again tomorrow. Bye, y'all.
Bye.